no disrespect to Gary Bettman, who is the most powerful man in the NHL for 361 days of the year. The next 4 days, it is George McPhee. He's the clearinghouse. You want to do something right now, you got to talk to George. He can take one of your players. Oh, you want a player from somebody else on a protected list? He can get that guy for you. You want to protect the player? He can do that for you. It's all through George McPhee. He is he put everybody on the chessboard, got them all into position, and now he's the only one playing.
Welcome back. It is hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Thanks again to Simon Salikas for sitting in the last several days, along with Mitch Gallo. Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis, who is off this week. That is Las Vegas Golden Knights insider, formerly the TSN family, Mr. Gary Lawless, who was on the air with us from Vegas about 90 minutes ago. About to make contact now with a gentleman who will be on his way to Vegas shortly.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Excellent. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thank you very much. Apparently, I missed some action.
Not really.
Not really? No. I don't want to put words in your mouth, okay? So you know I tune out, right, when I'm away?
Yeah.
Everything goes off. It's not even
as
on.
It should. You were enjoying some R&R.
I sure was, so it's not even on vibrate. So I'm getting, you know, all these messages coming at me one after the other, and one of this. How come Pierre does not like this trade? You don't like the trade?
No, that's not what I said at all.
Okay, what did you say?
I said that you've got to look at it from a lot of different ways. There's a ton of moving parts here. Number one, he's not a center iceman. You can say whatever you want. If you think you're having problems defensively with Galchenyuk in your own zone when he's a center iceman, wait till you see Jonathan Drouin. He's a winger. He's a scoring winger. So don't buy all the spread stuff. He's a winger. He's going to score. I said he's an important piece to the puzzle, but he's not the key piece to a puzzle. That's what I said. I mean, people have to listen. Without their rose-colored glasses on, every player in this league has a foible. They have a flaw. Every one of them does.
Okay, when I heard the news of the trade, because you know, Pierre, Mitch Gallo and I have been going back and forth on this, should they trade Sergachev or not, right? This was leading into the trade deadline. There was a lot of discussion about Sergachev for Duchesne, and I'm going, well, if you want to trade Sergachev, you got to get a player better than Duchesne, and I'd go with, you know, you try to get Nathan MacKinnon. Is Jonathan Drouin not more like Nathan MacKinnon than Matt Duchesne?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's more than fair. But now you're down to one legitimate prospect, one A-level prospect in your organization. I don't think he's playing in the NHL next year, Noah Juulsen. So you've gone from having a very small player pool to having an extremely small player pool. You've gone from having a high-impact defenseman where if you look at your team, where are you really having a problem? You're having a problem scoring goals, and you're also having a problem because of the age of your back end. Markov and Weber aren't getting any younger. Yemelin wasn't protected. Petrie had an on-and-off year. And you can go around the entire dial with the defense. So it's not exactly from dealing from a position of strength.
No question about that. Would you not?
That's why I said what I said the other day. You're trading away brilliant future, and and I've said this before, and it's like I don't understand why people get mad about this. You can't lie about the numbers. When they traded Subban for Weber, they lost 4 years on their roster. When they just made this deal, they lost almost four more years. And now you've traded Nathan Beaulieu, who is 17th overall, for a third-round pick who you don't even know what it's going to be in this draft. And this might be the reverse Kevin Holler. Mitch, you want to educate the people on the Kevin Holler deal? It was Kevin Holler for Peter Svoboda. Svoboda left Montreal. Holler went from Buffalo to Montreal. And Montreal won the Cup in 93. Right. This could be the reverse Kevin Holler.
Come on. You're not giving the Cup to Buffalo because they got Nathan Beaulieu.
No, but I'm saying down the road, they didn't win the first year they had Holler either.
All right.
Buffalo is trending up.
Okay, so let me just jump in there before we get to the Beaulieu thing. One of the things you said consistently since the Canadiens got knocked out in the first round by the Rangers is how everybody around them in the East is going to be better. The Montreal Canadiens with Jonathan Drouin and no Sergachev, with Jonathan Drouin, are they not better?
Who's going to get on the puck?
Well, that's that, no, be, no. I just what the team that ended training, the season. The team that ended the season dropped Jonathan Drouin into that line.
They are better.
Okay.
They are better.
So let's
they
see. And
but
you know,
you don't know, and I don't know what Sergachev's going to do in his rookie year. We don't know.
No, we don't.
We do know that he's going to be a very good player. Basing alone, his World Junior was terrible. I told you that when he had it. He had a bad World Junior. He did. And then you go snooping around and you find out why. The Russian coaches didn't want him carrying the puck. They got him playing out of character. They just wanted him to chip the puck off the boards and make little simple plays. They didn't allow him to carry the puck. They didn't let him jump into the rush. They didn't want him jumping into the cycle. So you do a little more snooping. You find out why. He goes to Windsor. He plays great. They win the Memorial Cup, and he's a big reason why. So I think he's going to have a really good year. And I don't think the Canadians will have to pay or I don't think Tampa will have to pay a second-round pick. And I don't think Montreal will either, because I think Sergachev is going to play 40 games.
Would it be a stretch to say, as I have a couple of times, that it when his career peaks, that he will be a player perhaps in the mold of a Victor Hedman?
Yeah, it's more than fair.
Okay.
So you might have two guys that could win the Norris Trophy on your defense.
All right, so clearly the Canadians, one of the things they have to do is bring in, they're still looking for a center, clearly, and they need a defenseman.
They might need two centermen.
Maybe, yeah.
Have you been reading the papers? Galchenyuk's not going to be back there. We knew, you and I, go back, I wish Rod would not, no knock on Dave, by the way. Dave does
yeah,
a great
no
job.
Knock on Dave. He's beaming right
no
now.
Knock, but he
first
know
day
the
in,
are.
He's already got taken
Dave
shots.
Dave doesn't
in.
Know where the tapes are. Like, go.
Yes, he does.
When Beaulieu was a healthy scratch.
Yes.
In New York.
Yes.
What did we say?
He's done. When
he's
Galchenyuk.
Done in Montreal.
When Galchenyuk opened up the playoffs on the fourth line as left winger, I thought he was done.
Done. You and I talked. Done. So he's getting traded. So now you tell me, and potentially, Thomas Plekanec might get picked by Las Vegas. I'm not saying he will. Potentially, he might. So can you tell me who's going to get him the puck?
I would love to see, personally, Galchenyuk and Drouin play on the same team. I'd love to see that.
So would I.
Do you not think that maybe they're having, considering, you know, they're obviously taking offers on Galchenyuk, and if they get one that blows them away, they're gonna pull the trigger, and if not, they keep him, and they're trying to get him re-signed, that maybe they wait? They're a little more patient here?
That would be great. That would be great. But I think they're swinging for the fences. That's the line I used last week. I think they're swinging for the fences. They're trying to make this thing go. They're trying to make it tick. I think they scored major points last week by getting Drouin in the PR battle. I really do. There was so much negative sentiment after the Subban and Weber deal, especially with Subban going to the final with Nashville. I think they took a little bit of that off. I think more people are excited about the team going forward now than they were last year at this time when that deal went down. So I give them points for that. I think they scored major points on that. But I think if you were to tell me right now they're going into next season with the same roster as they have right now on paper, right now, without any injuries or anything, I would say that they're going to be life and death to get the A spot in the East.
Well, that's life and death to get. You could say that about a few teams that are going to be on the bubble. And
they're not 6 years into a plan.
No, I understand, but I think with Carey Price healthy for 60 games, they get in the playoffs. I'm more concerned.
So
I would
if
be more.
If he doesn't sign by a certain date, is he still a Montreal Canadian? Or do we forget that he needs to have a contract?
Did Mark Bergevin not allude to that?
You know, I don't know.
Did he not allude to that in his where he's not going anywhere? Didn't he say he's not going anywhere? Right? He said that. He's not going anywhere. So whatever that means.
Okay. Well, I can't wait till he signs. I'm looking forward to that date. That'll be good.
Well, maybe he signs July 1. Maybe that's all part of this.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm being. I'm not being a smarty pants. I'm telling you. I look forward to that date because he's critically important to their well-being.
But there's no question work has to be done. I mean, this has the appearance, you know more than I, and again, Pierre's going to be in Vegas for tomorrow right through the end here, right?
I'll be in Vegas till Thursday morning, then I go to Chicago.
And you'll meet up with Sean Campbell and Mitch Gallo, who will be covering the draft for us here at TSN 690.
You're letting Gallo out of the studio. That's good.
he gets to hang out at, he's been to New York, he's been to Pittsburgh, he's been to Fort Lauderdale. Now he'll be going to Chicago for the first time. Unfortunately, the Cubs are not playing while he's in Chicago. But does this not have the appearance of something else big dropping in terms of the Canadians?
Well, that's what I said last week, too. I said this can't be the final move. If this is a final move, it's not enough. So I think something else large has to drop. That's why I said they're swinging for the fences. They're not playing small ball here. They're going big, and they're either gonna win it or they're gonna bust. That's what they're doing.
Gallo referred to the trade on Twitter of Beaulieu to Buffalo for a third round pick as stupid. I am not all worked up about it personally. Unlike a lot of people, I haven't seen Nathan Beaulieu as a top pairing defenseman. I haven't seen it. I there's raw talent, but I haven't seen the whole package. Maybe it happens playing for Phil Housley in Buffalo. Maybe he turns it around. I don't know. But I'll let Gallo throw something your way in relation to that trade.
Well, the reason I said what I said is because Nathan Beaulieu is an everyday NHL player who can play between 15 and 20 minutes a game, and a third-round pick, the percentages say, are highly unlikely to ever turn into an NHL player. So I just thought the Canadiens did a poor job of creating value for the asset and basically lost him for absolutely nothing, which I don't see how that's productive in any way for the team.
And traded him to a division opponent that's trending upwards, that has a coach that's got a proven track record of developing young defensemen, including Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Matt Irwin, development of Yannick Weber, who's been in the league for a while, has really improved. And even PK was really solid this year playing for Phil. Don't forget Jake McCabe and Seth Jones at the 2013 World Junior, who played for Phil Housley as well. What's that now?
Pierre, you don't think Nathan Beaulieu could become as good as the four guys in Nashville, do you?
I don't see why he can't.
Really?
He's much bigger than Ryan Ellis. He skates like Matthias Ekholm.
Okay, let me do this, because you cut your teeth in scouting. So do you do it on a number, like 1 to 10, or a grade, A to D? Well, how do you do that?
I go 1 to 5 myself.
1 to 5? Okay, let's
go. I have 1 being the best, 5 being the worst.
Okay, so on Nathan Beaulieu, skating?
1.5.
Puck handling?
2.
Shot?
2.5.
We disagree. What do you know? Awareness.
2.5.
Hockey sense.
Closer to 3.
Is anything up? Physicality.
3.2, 3.5.
Okay. Anything I'm leaving out here?
Nope.
All right.
If you want to go, awareness and vision are probably two of the same things.
Right.
But see, what I think, and that's why I said you got to be careful, you're trading a 17th pick overall for a third-round pick. So it's another example of it's harder on your roster, and you don't have as many assets. Mitch Gallo's point is supreme. He's still can play in the league. Like, you shouldn't be devouring your young. Something happened. He was a whipping boy there. There's no question. He was beaten down. And this is not all on this management team or this coaching staff. It's not. But he was a beaten down guy. You know, I said in this, Mitch, I'm going to send the text to you in confidence. But you'll see. On the afternoon that he was traded, I was asked by a GM in the league about him. And it was a GM in the West. And I said, this reminds me a lot of Matt Niskanen when he left Dallas. Everybody thought Matt Niskanen, who was a first-round pick, couldn't play in the league. He'd been devastated. He had been mentally and physically devastated. He could not play in the league at that time. He went to Pittsburgh with James Neal for Alex Goligoski. And Todd Reardon got his hands on him. And I said to this GM in the West, there are two places this guy can go. One, he can go to Washington, and Reardon can rehab him, because this guy's an amazing coach rehabbing players. Or he can go to Buffalo for Housley. And about 15 minutes later, he went to Buffalo.
Well, the term you use, beaten down, it almost describes what's happened to Galchenyuk as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not just from the team. It's presented a certain way to the media, and I'm not blaming anybody. This is just how it plays out. And the media, they went after him pretty good. I mean, they went after Galchenyuk pretty good. And he's a young kid. He is a young kid. Some guys handle it better than others. And it may have slowed his progress and his development as a player. Very well may have.
Pierre,
he's not. Listen, Brendan Gallagher, you guys have been rolling in silk with Brendan Gallagher. He's a tough guy. Brendan Gallagher has been told his whole life, you're too small, you're too slow, you're too this, you're too that, you'll never make it. And he wears that as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that. Alex Galchenyuk's never been told that. And then all of a sudden he's in the NHL and he's told that all the time. You're too this, you're too that. You can't do this, you can't. And he's like, how do I deal with that? And then you don't get the support of people internally. You're like, whoa, I'm in trouble here. So they, you know, healthy scratch Nathan. When you do that to a young player, it doesn't give a resounding shot of confidence to the player, and it probably says internally that the new sheriff in town's not buying in what the kid is doing, and he's probably going to be somewhere else.
How's that for Dave Trentadue, huh?
That's my man. He's stepping up. He's replacing an all-star with a virtuoso performance. So we don't make this stuff up.
Right.
You know, the truth of the matter is that as soon as that happened, he was Tostitos in Montreal. You knew it. They were playing for their lives, and they didn't have him in there. That was a rough one to digest.
Everything you say, you know, I have great respect for you and your ability to size up players. I disagree on the slap shot. He to me doesn't have the kind of slap shot you expect for somebody who has those kind of offensive tools. But right. The thing that when I see Bolia, and this is where you can help me out here. I know he's just 23 and he's played a lot of games in the NHL already. Is how do you develop if you don't apparently have the strong hockey sense to go along with the natural tools that you do possess? Can you really grow into that?
Yeah, you had a player in Montreal that did it. He was really good for a long time, Lyle Odelein. Jacques Laperriere did masterful work with him. So did Pat Burns. They're guys that Jacques Demers. I mean, Lyle Odelein's a good example of what you're talking about. He made himself into an everyday player. Hey, you want me to remind you about
He made himself
Chris
into
Chalmers?
An all-star, actually.
What's that?
He made himself into an all-star. Lyle Odelein played in the World Cup.
Lyle Odelein made himself into a really good player. So you ask me, I'll just use a Montreal one right off the top of my head. People don't even know about Chris Chelios had to go play Tier 2 junior in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan before he even got a chance at the University of Wisconsin. He was told by everybody he was too small and too this and too that and couldn't do it. It's in the Hall of Fame. You can do it. There are things you can do. Coaching matters. I mean, I remember we had guys like, we had Paul Stanton and Jimmy Pack playing every day, minutes, for a two-time Stanley Cup winning team. Those aren't everyday household names. You can do it. You just got to put the work in.
Pierre, what is your, I don't know if we'll start with it. We're running out of time here. We'll start with the Canadiens specifically, their list of available players. You already mentioned Thomas Plekanec. Also on the list is Brandon Davidson, who basically was Nathan Beaulieu for Game 6 in New York.
Yep.
And who's the other guy? Charles Hudon, that a lot of fans are concerned about losing. If you're Vegas...
that would be the one. Pardon me?
If you're Vegas, and I know this is highly dependent on other deals you may have and what your needs are as a team, but if strictly from the list, who would you take if you were running things in Vegas?
I really would be looking at Charles Hudon.
Mm-hmm.
I would have some interest in him. For what you're trying to do there, see, I think the way they're going to go, they're going to be goalie deep, they're going to be character filled on the back end, and they're going to have to play for a lot of one-goal games. So if you're going to do that, you need to have guys that can win races and are programmable up front. But I think they're going to be more competitive than people think. I think they're going to have a brilliant face for their franchise. It'll be a goalie. And I think that will start everything going in a positive direction in Vegas. I really do. If you're going to win as an expansion team, you need to have elite goaltending and character-filled defense. And I think they'll be able to fill both those quotas. And then you try to add players like Charles who don't. Young guys that are programmable.
So a lot of fans are hoping that it's Plekanec or Yemelin that get picked because of their big price tag. And a couple months ago, we had George McPhee on. I asked him about getting to the salary cap floor, and he said it's not going to be a big issue. How would you manage that salary cap where you're grabbing all these players in the expansion draft, and yeah, you can take a guy like Plekanec and eat up $6 million, or are there other ways of doing it?
There are other ways of doing it. There's a lot of rumors out there that maybe David Clarkson's contract is going to be moved again. I don't know how true that is or not, but that's a rumor that I heard on the street. That'll be an interesting one. You know, I don't think they're going to have a problem getting to the floor. I don't think the floor is, what, 55 now, Mitch Gallo? I think it was announced yesterday, $55
million. 55 that floor, comes. 75 for the cap,
Yeah. So I don't think they'll have a problem getting there. I really don't. But they won't have it. I don't think that'll be an issue at all for that ownership group or for George. I don't.
Pierre, were there any names that jumped out at you who were left unprotected, whether there's a side deal or not?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's hard for me to answer that honestly because of the side deals. That's going to be the striking part of this whole exercise, the amount of side deals that went on. I'll give you a case in point. When you look, just use Pittsburgh's protected list, and I'm going off the top of my head here, but Brian Rust, Nick Bonino, who's going to be a potential for an unrestricted free agent. You look at some of the guys that are on the Pittsburgh list, you're saying, how could they all be there? What the Islanders did is very strange. They didn't protect Brock Nelson. They didn't protect, Cal Clutterbuck, Casey Cizikas, Josh Bailey, Jason Chimera, who had played for George in Washington. They didn't protect a lot of guys, and yet they protected Adam Pellick, and Ryan Pulock. And everybody around the league's like, that's an interesting way of doing business. They must have had a deal. They must have a deal with Vegas because they left some big-name guys unprotected.
Is there Minnesota as well, right? Like Dumba?
Well, that everybody knew. The Minnesota thing, see, they tried like heck to move Jonas Brodin. And it wasn't because they didn't want Jonas. They wanted Jonas to be part of their team. But they knew they were going to have protection issues. And they, for whatever reason, their asking price was, from what I understand anyways, was relatively high, probably too high for most teams. And that's why he wasn't moved. And he's on the protected list. And they may have done a side deal on Dumba. They may very well have done a side deal. It'll be interesting to watch. Remember this. There's one player on their roster, Jason Zucker, who's got huge Las Vegas ties. So they may, who actually grew up there. So that may be, you know, something that they're trying to fish out of Minnesota. I don't know.
But when you see some of the names, the guys you mentioned on the island, a lot of the names are Eric Staal, another guy in Minnesota who was left unprotected.
Yeah.
Is that any kind of an indicator to other GMs that those teams might be willing to move one of those players, or it's just a byproduct of only being able to protect the number you get to protect?
I think it's a byproduct. You can only protect the number that you can protect. One general manager I spoke to over the weekend, he said it so well. It was crystal clear to me. And I try to put myself in his position. He said, my owner's getting a check for $17 million. I'm going to lose one player. Why do I want to lose more assets? I'm not going to make a side deal. My owner's getting his check. He's happy. I'm going to have to do a better job scouting to make sure I have more players coming through my system, but I'm going to lose one player. I'm not going to pay them to take a player from me, whether it's a first-round pick, a 2 second-round picks, a prospect. So the general manager that I spoke to, I was like, wow, that's impressive. I wonder if all the other guys are going to do that. And then I was reading the paper, and Chuck Fletcher basically said, you know what, almost the same thing. And I read that in the paper the other day where he basically parroted what that general manager told me on Saturday afternoon.
So George McPhee and his staff, I guess we'll talk more tomorrow, but...
I can stay with you as long as you want, but they've done a great job. George, people are getting mad. Oh, he's holding guys hostage. No, he's not. He's playing by the rules.
And he's lucky. There's no. He doesn't have a cousin expansion team. It's all for him.
No, that's. But we talked about that a long time ago when they came in. I said the one thing is that the NHL teams are lucky that there's only one team coming in. George McPhee is really lucky that he doesn't have to deal with a sister or a cousin coming in with him, because then he'd be in trouble. It'd be a lot different exercise for him. But I'll be honest with you, Mitch, I think they've played it really smart. He's put a deadline in. Everybody works well with deadlines. And he put a deadline in. I think it's 9 o'clock tonight. If you want to make a deal with me, better make a deal with me by 9 tonight or I'm closing it off.
That's correct, yeah.
So that's smart. That's pressure points matter. And he's put a pressure point on this thing. I think he's done a really good job.
We will talk to you tomorrow from Sin City, Nevada. Thanks as always, Pierre. Great talking to you again.
Oh, I'm glad you got home safe and sound. I hope you had a good time last past weekend.
Yes. Always do. Always do in the Big Apple. Thanks, Pierre.